Those Damn Ross Kids is a podcast for adults, and the opinions we express do not reflect the opinions of our employers or even ourselves. If you would like to support the show, go to duckfeed.tv/tipjar and check out our Patreon campaign. No. No. You know, that is your decision whether or not to worry about this. And again, that is a luxury that not every, you know, it's a privilege, right? It's a, you know, not being worried right now is a privilege that you earned.
I guess,
you know, I'm speaking about this as a, you know, a non-involved outsider who is making judgments about the way you've lived your life and will continue to live your life. So forgive me if I'm making broad claims from a stance of ignorance. However,
no,
that's the way it appears.
Let me reassure you, you'll always be outside.
I'm just so worried you'll be lonely. I was going to be lonely anyway.
Are we recording?
I've been recording for about the past 40 seconds.
Oh, great.
Okay.
Those Damn Ross Kids, a conversation between brothers, featuring Chris and Cole Ross.
I really recommend you read that Wolf in White Van book, actually.
Oh, okay.
What?
Nothing.
What?
Uncle Wolf in White Van.
No, it's just, it's
that, right. That is the name of it, right?
No, it's not Uncle Wolf in White Van. It's just called Wolf in White Van. It is spectacular. It is heartbreaking and beautiful. Yeah.
Mm.
That's what that loneliness line came from. I don't know. I feel weird making book recommendations because when people recommend books to me, it often feels like an imposition. But this is not an imposition. This is literally just me saying this made my life better, so it might improve your life in some way by introducing something elegant and true into it.
This isn't one of those books that, like, I have to flip upside down and read backwards and it's going to give me Parkinson's or anything.
Yes, he could only read it if it's shaking. It's like a magic eye. Yep. No, this is not one of those. It is not a Mark Z. Danielewski joint.
God.
Yeah.
You use a magnifying glass on one of those, like, rolling eyeballs.
And use a jeweler's loop.
Right.
Yeah. You have to take every page and wrap it around a coffee can in order to get it all to line up correctly.
Yeah.
It's like some kind of codex.
the only way you know at the end is if you smoke dental x-rays.
But it has to be dental x-rays. You use a different kind of solvent.
Yeah. Give you a 180, you know?
Yeah. I don't think I ever
Your
recommend.
Mind does the rest.
Yep. Oh, man, it's teeth all the way down. You have to snort tooth paper. Atomized teeth. I don't think I ever recommended House of Leaves to you, and if I did, it was very very misguided.
No, you did.
Did I?
Yeah, I saw it in your shelf.
So me having something is enough to be considered a recommendation.
You know, you don't give up much. You know, you gotta dig into what is a coal.
See, so that's the thing. I feel like I give up too much. I feel like there's just in general. I feel like there's too much of me out there.
Nah.
No?
No. Maybe you give up more when I don't care. But less when I do. You know, you walk into somebody's house, you look at their bookshelf, you look at their internet history.
You perform some personal archaeology is what I call
it. Yeah, like you get in on the idea that this person loves video games and you know, maybe some, I don't know, POV fiction. and that's you. So
POV is that from the search history? Is that where you got that?
I think so. Yeah, it was kind of like, you know, your what you read combined with what you jerk off to.
Yeah.
But what do you, by the way? What's your favorite category?
I think that you just found a way to force me into contradicting myself. I don't give up too much of myself because I'm not willing to say that.
Gotcha.
It's not like it's anything shameful or shocking by certain definitions of countries in Europe, but no. So yeah, I'm not comfortable. So some things you have to hold sacred and dear.
Well, it's a Czech auditions on the street.
That's the, you know,
that's my assumption.
No, so what I will say is anything, if I get the whiff that anything is coming from Eastern Europe, I immediately turn it off because
too much hair.
No, not even that. And this is going to get into serious and unfunny. Like I am a hypocrite because even though I recognize that pornography is one of the driving forces in human trafficking, I still indulge in it as a weak-willed human being, you know, and I'm not being sex negative there. I'm just saying when you're clicking around on sites, you never know what circumstances the person you're watching is coming from, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so if I get a sense that anything is coming from Eastern Europe, my human trafficking radar goes off and I immediately just get heartsick. I just kind of because I've read like taking like human rights classes and read about
I get,
that.
I get sick, but not my heart.
Yeah, it's more like a full body like despair at the possible things that those hells that those people went through. So if I get a sense that anything is from Eastern Europe, I have to look for something else.
It's gonna make my dick throw up.
Ugh. Man.
Oh that, no, I'm
too
just
much.
Kidding. Way, I'm just kidding.
Way too much.
I jest.
Jeez, OP.
I jest.
Yeah, in the recent episode of Watch Out for Fireballs about I Have No Mouth and I'm a Scream, we hypothesized what it like how different the world would be if your body made an audible noise every time you came. And I'm not talking about any errant grunts,
not from
or
your mouth.
Yeah, not from like, your mouth,
like,
but
like let's just say there was a flap on your like on your shoulder.
Yeah, like you know how sometimes
like
if
a
you,
tea kettle.
Yeah, like if you put your thumb over the end of a hose, it makes like a hissing sound.
Right.
But like if it was in a more explosive situation like that, just basically what would happen if every time you came, it just made like a loud sneezing sound.
Nah.
And so we riffed on that for a little bit.
Yeah, you did. No, we're not going to do that again.
Nope. But I just wanted to say this is ground that we have covered.
Good. I'm glad
we've checked it off.
But let me tell you, the reason that I'm into other countries and like pseudo trick porn is because I'm into currencies of the world because when they start bargaining with women on the street or in a bar and they're like, you want two marbles or, you know, four fucking like trees or, you know, eight families, whatever they bargain for it. That to me is that's intriguing.
So like from an educational standpoint, not from a, like an ethical or I'm so into this standpoint.
Oh, both. But
so the thing that I said made me like feel an existential sadness.
I guess I'm saying like the whole undercurrent of nudity and stuff is what gets me there.
Yeah.
But what keeps me there is like
it's educational. It's like
let me learn about what's important to your family.
Yeah. Yeah. Where in the world is Carmen Santorum?
You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Or why in the world is Carmen giving up anal? Like, that's what I want to know.
How many kroner did she have to get for that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
No, Chris, have you ever just say like just go on, you know, torrents or whatever, and download Emmanuel? Because for my understanding, that is a long and storied softcore porn tradition where she goes around the world.
I've never seen that.
Yeah, no, it's like from the like Cinemax in the 70s. Yeah, then she goes to space once. Yeah. Now if you're curious about getting that in there, I wonder if there's this probably exists because everything exists, but sexy lectures. So think like that scene from Billy Madison where what's her name, Vanessa, is helping him bone up on his history, and she's quizzing him, and every time he gets one right, she takes off an article of clothing. I wonder if there's something like that, kind of like framed up in a Blue's Clues addressing the camera, kind of way, and it's interactive. So every time you answer it, it rewards you. I think that'd be a great way to use sexuality for good.
Hmm. What about when you just like punch?
You're already going the wrong way.
What's the with punching?
Yeah. That is the wrong opening gambit on that sentence, my friend.
What about when you gently caress?
Okay.
No. Your loved one. No. Yeah. Hey, did we do the episode?
we've been in the episode. Chris, what episode is this?
Episode number 158?
Yes, 158. Sorry, I lost track, too. It's been a weird night.
Yeah. Of the comedy podcast, Those Damn Ross Kids.
Yeah. Your name is?
Me, Chris.
And my name is Cole. We're here to entertain your asses. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. So sorry if you're disappointed that I'm not going to give up my special preferences. But it's not something I'm going to do. I will speak with frankness about anything I have experience with, but...
It doesn't involve Asians eating blackberries.
Mm. Is blackberry a euphemism there?
Nope. Literally the fruit.
That seems pleasant. A lot of antioxidants in that. I like to know somebody's taking care of themselves. You know, never put blackberries in a smoothie.
So I heard
that is a tip from me to you,
from dead Patrick Swayze to the world. Nobody puts blackberries in a smoothie.
Yeah. It was so weird in his latter days. He was in the anti-blackberry council.
Right.
People were like, are you talking about the cell phones, dog? He's like, no, the seeds get in your teeth. It's crazy. It's gross. Stick to blueberries and strawberries.
Nobody puts blackberry.
You need to kill the lily. Yeah. Also kale. Kale is terrible in a smoothie if you don't have a good blender.
Have you ever had kale?
Yeah, I like it.
Ah, oh, they're the worst people.
what, kale people?
Yeah.
Well, no, anybody who won't shut the fuck up about their food of the minute is bad. But like fresh or semi-steamed kale is pretty good. Kale chips, pretty good. You put it in a smoothie, though. This is Cole's Smoothie Corner. It's like trying to drink a shoelace.
Really?
Yeah. It's all fibrous. Even if you're very diligent about cutting out the stalks and steaming it ahead of time, it will not blend. It blends less than an iPhone does, Chris. It blends less than a Southern school district prom. I'm out of similes. I need you to pull me out of this one, man.
Hey, man, let's do a story because we haven't done one in like an
four
hour.
Episodes. Yeah. Okay.
Goddamn sons of bitches. I'm going to put you at ease.
Okay.
Much of your furniture is coated in flame retardants.
Yeah.
It turns out that those same flame retardants may be making themselves at home in your own body.
Because everything around you is covered in them.
They've tested 16 Californians' biomarkers and found 6 flame retardants in your body. Chemicals coming out in your urine.
Well, that's good. It means they're not sticking around.
Yeah.
I mean, stuff that comes out in your urine, it's just using your tubes like a fucking water slide.
So basically, everything around you is sucking in all the flame retardant.
Uh-huh.
And your body is indulging in it.
Yeah.
And then pissing out what is not needed to make you not burn.
Right. Well, like, and Chris, when was the last time you heard about somebody spontaneously combusting?
Cole, that's never been true.
Well, you never heard of the wicking effect? Human candles, Chris. I told you about the time my friend caught fire.
No.
Yes, I did. Friend I lived with, he was lighting a cigarette. His sweater caught fire because never washed it, and it was all of his lint and body grease. And just this bright blue flame that was like just almost white just leapt up his sleeve to his shoulder.
No.
Yeah. It burned.
Oh, wait. Yeah, we talked about
yeah,
that.
We did. But you
determine he was a non-human.
Right. Because in that instant I saw that he had circuits instead of bones. So what you're saying is via the process of leaching and off-gassing. So in a similar way to the, you know, like I have a non-stick stomach now because of the Teflon pans I used to use, I now have a flame-proof body.
You do.
Yeah.
And regardless,
this is gonna put firefighters out of a job. Who are they gonna have to rescue, like, when you just walk out of the building yourself?
Regardless of how you clean, regardless of how you vacuum, whether you use a HEPA filter, they are stored in the fats in your body.
Yeah.
So you, Cole,
uh-huh,
flame retardant.
Hear this?
So you should light like 9 cigarettes and take a nap.
Just be like that guy from the Freak Show with the cluster of cigarettes. I believe a literal faggot of fags in the traditional sense of the word, and also the British sense.
God Lord.
I never realized that was an actual pun. You know, the Freak Show guy smoking 50 cigarettes at once.
Like putting the fat back in me, transrender.
How long have you been sitting on that one?
But the last, I don't know, forever.
Yeah. It's worrisome. Yeah, that's the problem with what is it, BPA? It gets stored in your fat cells.
Oh God, I'm terrified. I'm glad you said that. I'm fucking terrified.
Terrified of what?
I have so much in the world that's tearing me down and ripping me apart and things that I should be scared about, but the Soda Stream bottles made me really scared because they say don't put in hot water.
Okay. Because it'll leach.
Exactly. They give you cancer the minute you put it in hot water. And so like whenever I stir a hot meat or hot something with mm-hmm. plastic, or I put hot something into a plastic bag, mm-hmm. like I'm constantly worried that that's going to leach in the tumor.
Huh. Chris, are you
Is that how it works, or am I just...
Well, like most of that, like even so, I think that the Soda Stream it is rated for that. I've done research on this as well. It's rated for that mostly for structural integrity. Like when you open or use a Soda Stream, you're essentially agreeing to a EULA, to an end user license agreement.
You're agreeing to anal rape.
Pretty much. Not really. Like $15 for a month worth of salsa water. Oh, okay, cool. They have a referral program.
You're like, cool, Chris has a lot of Soda Stream bottles.
No, I think that's
and I'm his relative.
I think that that's more about I have them too, so we cancel out.
How many do you have?
I have 2.
I have 6.
Jesus Christ, what are you doing with all those bottles?
Hoping you'll be anal raped.
4 times?
Yeah, well, got a long holiday season.
Yeah, no, but I think that it's more so you don't weaken it and make it more brittle by exposing it to really hot water, because those things can explode. There are people who try to like carbonate wine and shit, and it doesn't work out for them so well. Yeah,
really.
Yeah, it's bad news.
Well, it says don't do anything about water.
Yeah, like. And it's
on
very
the label.
Yeah, it's very explicit too. Like you carbonate the water. This is not a sponsorship. This will apply to any.
Nor will it ever be.
Right. This will not. You know. But this will apply to any home soda maker you might use. But don't mix the stuff in first. You have to carbonate it, then mix the stuff in, because otherwise it'll explode.
Cool.
All over your room. So, have fun with that. No, that is not like those bottles, for as popular as those are, probably do not have any kind of BPAs or whatever. Who knows what chemicals we haven't identified, but I don't
room
know.
And womb.
Yeah. Chris, speaking of chemicals, are you familiar with benzene?
I might be.
What about formaldehyde? That's what the science room smelled like in middle school. You know, sulfuric acid. What about naphthalene? No?
Is that how they make maps?
Nope. What about lead or DI phthalate? No?
No, that's the leavening agent, falafels.
Yes. Falafels aren't leavened. You ever had a falafel? They're really good.
No, never.
Yeah, they're really tasty. They're like they're like Middle Eastern hush puppies.
Really?
Yeah. It's like chickpeas breaded and fried. Delicious.
I'll bite.
Yeah. You should, because they're delicious. No. Chris, the reason I'm giving you a rundown on these chemicals is these are all cancer-causing agents. And they are also chemicals that are used, that are commonly used in fracking, right? Which, as we know, is the process of shooting a bunch of chemicals and stuff into the earth to get more gas, you know, to get more oil out. And it also goes into the water, creating a very marked cancer risk in the regions where this would be, like, you know, just fucking up the entire water table for everybody else. And you would think that an organization that prided itself, in fact, made themselves the sole provider of, you know, most anti-cancer things, would be like, hey, maybe don't use those things, or, you know, at the very least, not get involved in the first place, right?
Right.
This is a lot of overture to say that the Susan G. Komen for the Cure Foundation has decided to take $100,000. For the purposes of selling 1,000 pink painted drill bits used for fracking. So good luck, ladies. The water you're drinking is literally giving you the disease that keeps us in business. Have a pink drill bit so these companies can, I don't know. Also, don't ever say the race for something, because they will sue you into the fucking Stone Age. Did you know that? They tried to trademark or copyright the phrase "race for the blank." They're like Monster Cable going after anybody who use "race for the blank." fucking monsters! Fucking monsters!
I'm sorry.
Just say what you're gonna say. I know you weren't listening.
No, I was.
Okay.
I was laughing at the story. Can I just genuinely be entertained by you?
I mean, history has proven not really.
Yeah, but maybe sometimes.
You know, we have to hold out hope. I mean, otherwise, Chris said there's no hope. Why are we here?
I don't know.
Yeah. See, it's a hard question to answer, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. So, pink drill bits. Did you know that's how Howard Hughes made his fortune? Not made his fortune, but like the Hughes family.
Thought it was in planes.
No. His, if you read the biographies I read, you would know this, Chris. I don't know. I don't know why I'm trying.
So why did you?
Yeah. No, I'm just trying to make you feel bad for some reason. No. I
couldn't feel worse, actually.
Okay. No. His
got a lot going against me, actually.
I know. So. Jeez, oh, Pete, hiding behind that fucking
keep loading it on, yeah, Cole.
Hiding behind that fucking shield already, mm-hmm. Coward. No. No, his dad, it was either his dad or his grandpa, developed the drill bit that made like what we consider modern oil drilling possible. And so with all those patents, that gave little Howie all the money he needed to blow on you know, airplanes and movies and casinos and stuff.
Neat.
Yeah. Fun fact, not that funny.
I'm going to tell you about a person that's not so unsimilar to you on the surface, Cole.
Oh, man.
He's unshaven.
All right.
A little dirty.
I mean, is this going to be Jesus?
A little dirty.
Chris, I'm not fucking dirty.
You know.
Don't even step.
No hair gel.
Yeah, I don't use hair gel.
Okay, well, then we're on track again.
2 out of 3.
And then we're off again. Dresses like a woodsman.
Okay.
And Cole, what is that?
It's a lumberjack.
A lumber sexual.
Oh, no.
He is the opposite of the shaven and moisturized metrosexual. With all his skinny jeans and hair gel. The lumber sexual wears an unkept beard, nothing tight, plaid, maybe plaid on plaid. And, yeah. His backpack carries a MacBook Air, but looks like it should carry an axe.
Who the fuck puts an axe in a backpack? This is a terrible article, Chris.
The lumbersexual spends the same amount of money, but looks filthy.
Okay.
Compared to a metrosexual.
Right.
Both kinds of men are working very hard to fashion themselves into a certain look.
Yeah, so they're fronting. Yeah, they're
calling it the hairier brethren to the smooth, pretty gay metrosexual.
Well, what they're trying to avoid is metrosexual is to twink as lumbersexual is to bear. Is that fair to say?
Cosmopolitan says, if your boyfriend can build you a dresser, find wild blackberries, and open a beer with a buck knife, chances are you're dating a lumbersexual.
Okay. What the fuck? Isn't that just a dude? Like the typical...
Is that a dude, Cole? Are you a dude?
I don't know. I could probably find a blackberry for you.
I don't
you
think you're a dude, Cole. By your own definition.
I don't know.
I'm not talking about how society is judging you, man. I'm talking about how you judge society. Yeah.
Okay, so that wasn't the right lens to hold up to the situation. However,
my own lens is not right.
Well, that's long been established. But I mean, like, I don't know. Like, does that have to be a label? I guess
lumbersexual.
Yeah, that's like the least sensical thing I've ever heard.
Sounds like a lot of work, man.
It kind of does, but I mean, okay, so when I say isn't that just a dude, I guess what I'm saying is, isn't that just Ron Swanson?
Well, yeah, I left that out.
You left out? Was that the lead, Chris?
It was.
Is Ron Swanson heading up the new sexual revolution?
This guy, think Tim the Toolman Taylor, Nick Offerman, or Chuck Norris. It's hard to teach these inner city kids how to fight kung fu.
I'm sorry, what was that Edward James Olmos movie where he did that?
It was where he played Chuck Norris.
Yeah, it was the Chuck Norris biopic.
Played by Edward James Olmos.
Yeah, and a full-on mask.
God, these kids can rap, but they can't high kick.
They don't have the special pants,
right?
With the elastic crotch.
What do they call that?
The gusset?
No,
Chuck Norris action jeans.
No, the kung fu outfit the kids wear.
The karate gi?
Nah, yeah, the gi. That's...
I like how you're just your reflex was to say no, that's wrong.
Well, it was. I was looking for gi.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But you were looking for gi.
You were looking for gi, and I fucking said gi.
Yeah, after prompting.
Yeah. So let me rewind. Oh, what is that karate outfit for little kids? Oh, the gi? Nah. Yeah.
I'm just used to being wrong.
Well, yeah, no, I'm the mayor of wrong. We've established this.
I want to close the window, Cole. I want to end the tab.
Yeah. Okay. Well, if you want to end that tab, then I'll take you on to the next one.
Great.
That's the way we do things, right? Chris, cleanliness is next to godliness. You know, it's a thought-terminating cliche. It's something that is used to shame people who don't clean behind their ears or conform to standard definitions of hygiene. But it's a phrase that might have some kind of basis. Chris, it's likely that cleaning makes you, you know, like being a clean person or the act of cleaning makes you more likely to behave ethically. All right?
Okay.
This was carried out by some researchers who Rice University's Jones Graduate School of Business is where this took place. And what they did was they showed a bunch of people some pictures of like poopy diapers and, you know, really dirty bathrooms and just general disgusting things. and gave them a little test on ethics to see, like, hey, would you cheat to get ahead? And then they showed some other people pictures of cleaning products and things that were nice and clean and pristine, and they were less likely to cheat in order to get ahead. And the hypothesis is that cleanliness, or rather disgust, if we're going to take that to be the opposite of cleanliness, disgust is a defense mechanism that tells us the stakes are high, that we have to get away from this as soon as possible. And that kind of rewires our brain to make us, want to cling to and step ahead, and, you know, reduces kind of the cost that we would put on that, right?
Okay.
So the idea is that cleaning more makes you more likely to be a stupid loser that the world steps all over because you're not willing to cheat to get ahead.
All that explains it for me then.
Yeah.
I'm a big time clean head.
You're a clean head?
Yeah. I clean a lot.
Yeah, no, I as do I.
Really?
Really? You don't know this about me?
I don't think you clean a lot.
No?
Holy shit.
I'm constantly, like, in the process of tidying and stuff.
No, you're always, organizing in some way.
Mm-hmm.
But in cleaning? Maybe.
Yeah.
Like, I'm talking about, like, bleaching the ceiling.
Because that's psychotic. No, I'm very regimented about the way that I approach cleaning.
I'm talking about putting hoods on hoods, man.
You're referring to over your stove, right?
Yeah.
Yeah? No, so explain how you're cleaner than me.
Well, it's not a competition, man.
Okay.
I bleach a lot.
Yeah, so do I.
Big fan. I'm a big fan.
Yeah.
Like, I bleach my couch. I bleach my carpet. I bleach my floors. I bleach my ceiling fans. You know, your ceiling fans, they look like a science experiment, man. You know, like on top of the blades.
Jeez, I only have the one ceiling fan.
Oh, but that takes up all the rest of them that I have.
Jeez, I didn't realize you were judging me every time you came down here.
No, it's scary, man.
No, it's not.
Like you're growing a puke farm.
Well, so I will say, I never lived.
Now, granted, your body hair, most of it comes out like
Chris,
pubes.
I almost took a picture of it. Honestly, most of it comes off of my head. Is what I determined because I'm ill-equipped. Like, I've never really had, like, hardwood floors before. At least hardwood floors I ever took care of.
I'm talking about your bathroom.
Well, I mean, okay, yeah. So that's a thing, and I try and stay on top of that as best I can, but we all have our crosses to bear. No, but, like, just recently, like, you know, I'll vacuum the carpets and stuff, and I'll hit what I see with a brush. But, like, here a couple weeks ago, as, you know, we were getting into fall, you know, fall proper, I started, I took a broom and I hit all the corners and I got, was cleaning off the baseboards and stuff, and I was pushing all of the dust because I wanted to use the dustpan as little as possible. I got it all.
What's going on there, Cole?
Sorry, there's police outside. Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah. No, but like, so I basically an entire apartment's worth of hair tumbleweeds. Chris, it was shocking. And I knew it was all me because it was all my hair color. But, like, it is all the hair that collected against the edges of the baseboards and in corners and behind carpet and stuff. Or, sorry, behind furniture. And, like, I about took a picture of it because it was the grossest possible thing.
And I guess I'm gonna define it as this. The clean says, what am I cleaning? And the really clean says, what am I not cleaning?
Exactly. Yeah.
And that's what it comes down to.
And so this is the result, I think. You know, or at the very least, it is the product of me not growing up with or being familiar with how to take care of hardwood floors. The particular challenges that come along with that, right? Because we always grew up with carpet, like literally wall to wall in the bathrooms and in the kitchen and in the laundry room and shit. Like, so all of that was just hidden and grabbed close to the boards.
Of course.
Yeah. So, the what should I sweep in order to make sure this doesn't happen was a question that I didn't answer because I didn't know that it was one that had to be asked.
There you go.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you about a study, Cole.
Okay.
The Swedish global hygiene company has surveyed about 13,000 people from 13 countries, including around 1,100 from the United States, about their bathroom habits at work.
Okay.
They've released the results of the study.
No, no.
25% of Americans head to the restroom to text.
Monsters.
While about the same number go to the bathroom to make a phone call.
Oh, double monsters. Like, do you just have 5% to make sure that you're disguising your voice as farts?
Basically. 5% go there to smoke. 5% go there to nap.
1 in 20. So, you know, if you work like I do at a company that has about 60 people there, at least 3 of them are regularly dipping out for nap time.
Right.
Okay.
7% go there to exercise.
To exercise and while they're there or to, through the process of walking there, get in their steps.
No, in there. 8% go there to eat.
Oh, no. No.
They're saying that the workplace restroom is personal sanctuary, a safe place.
Wow.
10% saying that they go there for coping or a good place to cry.
I can believe that. I can believe that. 1 in 10 people are crying in the bathroom.
23% of women head there to quote, deal with frustration.
Just get in there and have a good scream. Frustration is a euphemism for menstruation, right?
Right.
Okay.
They go there to spasm. Oh.
Wow. That's.
And it should be noted that 40% of the U.S. respondents, which would be, 400 of 1,000.
Yes, that's how percents work. Yeah.
Yeah. So they don't wash their hands after they leave.
God damn it. How's that compare? Are we behind fucking Bangalore with that shit?
We're behind everywhere.
That's inexcusable. But I mean, you know, washing your hands is a hat. Chris, I'm just trying to cope with this. I'm trying to cope with what you just dropped on me because I knew it was bad.
Oh, it's horrible.
Like, you know, there is no possible world in which you would say I have a stat on how much people wash their hands, and I was going to be pleased with the answer, but I just like I want some justice in this world.
Cole,
yeah.
The only thing I can tell you with 100% certainty and my knowledge and my maturity,
mm-hmm.
Sweep the leg.
This has been Those Damn Ross Kids.
I mean, is that just general like cleanliness advice? You have to make sure that you sweep the leg? Get all the hair off of there.
It's the only thing I've learned.
Yeah.
In almost 32 years,
mm-hmm.
Let's sweep the leg.
Am I 27? Can I hit you with the one thing that I know?
Yeah.
Amazing Larry doesn't have anything to share with the rest of us.
Hmm.
Sometimes I just watch that scene. Because I'm often, at work, I'm the angry guy. You know? Like, it's getting easier and easier to just set me off. To set me off. And I will often find myself in my speech patterns and in the way that I present information, falling into Pee Wee doing the evidence presentation at the town hall meeting.
So why don't you have like a tag on yourself or in your room or on your computer that says Cole is having his bath.
Because then everybody would ask where they're hosing me down.
And then you could say, if you don't know, you're not invited.
You're not invited to bath time.
There's a lot of things about me you don't know anything about, Donnie. Yeah. Things you wouldn't understand.
Things you couldn't understand.
Things you shouldn't understand.
I'm a loner, Dottie.
You don't want to get mixed up with a guy like me. Wait, I'm a loner, Dottie.
I jump sequence, sorry. A rebel. So for a little while, I thought that the person who played Mickey was O.J. Simpson.
No.
He's totally not.
Yeah, definitely not.
Yeah, but in my young mind, and my incomplete understanding of what non-white people looked like, I thought that it was, you know, like that.
I'm going to ask you on our way out. Mm-hmm. To play the role of Pee-wee.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I think I'm ready.
And after we're done, you're going to tell the listeners what they can do.
Okay.
All right. So you're Pee-wee.
I'm Pee-wee. Ready? Okay.
On this very night, 10 years ago, this same stretch of road in a dense fog just like this, I saw the worst accident I've ever seen. There was a sound like a garbage truck dropped off the Empire State Building. And when they finally pulled the driver's body from the twisted, burning wreck, it looked like this. Ah! Yes, sir. The worst accident I've ever seen.
Have a nice day. You know what to say after that, right? Be sure and tell him Large Marge sent you.
No, that's not what he says. Huh? That's not what she says.
Yeah, because she sets him up. She says, "Be sure to tell him Large Marge sent you." So when he goes into the biker bar and says that, they reveal, "Oh, she's been dead 20 years."
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
the mind plays tricks on you, man.
Yeah, I don't watch that movie every month.
You play tricks on it back, man.
Yeah. Got to fight back. Got to fight fire with fire.
It's like you're unraveling a big cable knit sweater. Somehow keeps knitting.
Seriously, Chris, on the balance, I think I watch that movie about once a month.
Do you really?
Yeah, background noise. It's right up there with like Blade Runner.
For $20, I can tell you a lot of things. For $30, I can tell you more. And for $50, I can tell you everything. I think that's probably the least valued quote in that.
Oh yeah, see, it's like I know it because I know the movie, but it's not one that you see. It's not one that you see carted out.
No, it's good though.
And people don't they don't bandy it. I think that one takes
Ruby.
Madam Ruby is her name. Madam Ruby. She tells us about the Alamo. That one, I think, even takes a second hand, or, you know, like a backseat to Shrunken Head.
Oh, no.
Regular size.
The Shrunken Head is for laughs, and this is more adulthood.
Oh, right, yeah. Here. It's more like, okay, I mean, yeah. It's a stealth one. We call that a way homer.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. Chris, can I tell them what they can do?
For $20, I can give you a slider. For $30, I'll give you a whole sandwich. For $50, I'll give you a cow.
Get you the platter. That's the best value, you see. Sorry. Chris, you want me to tell them what they can do?
Please.
Okay. Go to Facebook.com/thosedamnrosskids. Like us on there. Leave us a rating or review on iTunes if you can. And if you have a couple of bucks to kick the network's way, it is patreon.com/duckfeedtv. And tell a friend. What we need more of is listeners. So that is the best way to support us. Oh, an equally good way to support us, because we're getting up into holiday times. If you're going to be buying any gifts online, on Amazon specifically, use our link at duckfeed.tv/tipjar, and we get a cut of that. Generally, November and December are great months for us on that, and I thank everybody who does the extra step. It doesn't cost you anything extra, but it covers a large portion of our expenses.
Exactly.
What?
I bought this pen on Amazon 1 hour before my bike was stolen.
Sorry, America.
Sorry.